The number one question I get the most is, how do I make money from my podcast? The second question I get the most is, how do I record a video podcast virtually? And I always tell people what works for me. What if I told you there was a tool that would allow you to effortlessly record and edit your podcast all while using AI? Riverside is a podcast recording platform that will even let you edit your podcast using the transcript of your podcast, so you literally don't have to be an audio expert to edit your podcast. I have a 15% off discount code for you to see for yourself. Use the promo code CreatorHub and start creating with Riverside.fm today. Recording a podcast virtually has never been this easy. If you've been following my content for a while now, you know that I only have one piece of advice for aspiring creators. Just start. Like, literally, now. Well, once you get started and you get going, you'll reach a point where the next logical step is investing in your business. This may be equipment or a course or even traveling to create some content. The only challenge is funding from banks is so challenging, especially as creators. This is where Juice Club saves the day. Juice Club is a super cool, members-only community designed to help creators like you and me take our businesses to the next level. One of the many perks they provide is short-term, flexible funding on your terms. There are different funding options for creators at different stages, and you always stay in total control of your content. I'm dropping a link in the show notes. Please check them out. Hey, I'm Lloyd. Welcome to the Creator Hub for the Culture. Every week, we share content to help you level up on your journey as a creator. I'm actually recording today's episode in London, which, you know, I'm at a conference, and so the sound may not be the same as it normally is. There may be some background noise and maybe some people talking. So if you do hear any of that, it's because I'm at a conference. But today we're going to have an amazing episode. We're joined by Tati Capella and Kaylee Carter, the co-hosts of As Seen In. They talk about everything from film and TV and music to entertainment. One search of their YouTube channel and you'll find them chatting about the worst movie they've ever seen to the experiences they've had acting in movies as extras. Their podcast is quite literally never short of laughter. Tati, Kaylee, welcome to the show.
How are you?
I think you've marketed us better than we've ever marketed ourselves before. Yeah. So thank you for that. We'll be stealing that.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you how the two of you met and why you started a podcast. But I have to tell you why I thought you would be amazing guests for this podcast. Mm. I saw your podcast maybe like three times on my Instagram feed before I decided to email you. The first was just sort of like, I think I saw that you were going to be speaking at the podcast show, which is where we are right now. And I thought oh my gosh, that's so cool. So I followed you. And then a few moments later, maybe a few days later, I saw that you both were in New York and your podcast was featured at Times Square, which is just amazing.
It is amazing, but it's I think people need to understand that it was, how do you explain it?
I think it wasn't as it's not we had a Spotify billboard or something like that. It was
basically
less than a minute long.
Yeah, it was short. You can enter your thing, they check if it's meeting guidelines, otherwise that'd be inappropriate. And then we got our little 15 seconds of fame, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds worth it.
It was worth really, it. It was really
yeah,
worth
yeah,
it.
That's, and I think that I saw that and then I decided, you know what? I'm going to listen to this podcast. Yeah. I'm going to give it a try. And I listened to your podcast and not only was it just hilarious, I found out so much about you. I was just telling you before we started, I feel like I know you and you guys have I'm a podcast nerd. So when I heard you guys have a podcast manager, you just are doing the darn thing, which is so cool. So I had to chat with you. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, I'm excited. I feel like we're very extra. That's one thing about us. We were talking about it just literally before we came in. We were we're just going to do things.
Yeah.
We don't really think. Yes. We just go.
Yeah.
That's a great approach to go through life with.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think I think we're doing the damn thing, as you said.
Yeah.
I'm
very curious. How did the two of you meet and whose idea was it to start a podcast?
We met at university. So when we were both doing our undergrad back in 2018 is when we started.
Yeah.
We both did television and broadcasting And yeah, we just became friends one Easter because we were the only ones in uni.
Yeah.
And then maybe, I feel like uni is such a, you know, high intensity environment because you see everyone every day. So we became really good friends literally after one day of speaking.
Yeah.
And then instantly it was like, we need a podcast.
Yeah. I think it was just the vanity in us really that we were like, we're hilarious. We're so funny. We're so cool. We're so amazing. We have to start a podcast. And we did. We started one, which we've talked about before.
Yes.
We started it in university. And I think to touch on what you were saying about everything's really high intensity. I feel like time does not exist at university at all. Yeah. It's so... like literally within a week, I felt like I knew Tati, which isn't normal, I feel.
Yeah.
She was coming around my halls. She was staying. We were doing things. And we started a podcast called The More You Know.
Yeah. A really bad podcast.
It wasn't good.
It was terrible.
Tell me about it.
It was bad. Yeah.
It was our concept. Basically, there was no concept. We were just talking about random things. So I think our first episode was all about star signs.
Yeah.
And we thought, let's film this. So we rented some kit from our university like department because we had access to it studying TV.
Yeah.
We had like one Rode mic in the center of a really echoey room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just looked terrible, sounded terrible. The conversation just wasn't doing anything. It was bad, but it taught us a lot for when we came to start as CNN.
Yeah.
But yeah, straight off the bat, we were like, we need to do something with this energy. We
just, like, we didn't even just have the idea. We were making graphics.
Yeah.
We were sitting in the library when we should have been revising, doing,
right.
What can we do next? What can we do next? And it was just,
I
think it did, like you said, prepare us for what eventually we're doing now, I guess.
Yeah. What happened from the time you started that podcast to the time you started as Seen In? At what point did you decide we no longer want to do this podcast and we now want to do this as Seen In podcast?
It was kind of like we did two episodes of that first podcast. We realized, okay, this is one harder than we thought without the financial means to have proper kit and, you know, really take time and put that in whilst we were in university studying, doing all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So we were like, we still want to do a podcast, but it's not going to work right now. Kept on the back burner, was just, you know, going through uni. And then just after we finished our degree, we had the idea after going to the premiere for June, we weren't on the red carpet or anything. We were fans. And we thought we need to do a podcast so that, you know, we can continue sharing our love for film, TV, all of that. And
Tati,
also be on the other side of the
carpet. Underselling for sure because we were in London this day and we saw that the Leicester Square premiere was setting up for June. And we always said, oh, we're never going to tell the story because that's so embarrassing. But now we've told it 100 times.
Yeah.
We literally were there. We could see them setting up. We were like, oh my God, we've got crates. Like we're standing right at the front. And then all of a sudden this massive like wall just gets built and they're like, get out of here. Like, who do you think you are? And we were like, no. So I think it gave us the push to be like, okay, we need to be on the other side. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And it was a good couple years between the two, I'd say.
Oh yeah.
While we were doing uni. So
I'd say a solid 2 years before we started that scene after ending or not even starting the other one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think studying TV, we did a lot of coursework and stuff relating to just genres and production of TV. So we had always had an interest in everything creative.
Sure.
So it just felt like a natural progression into this niche, I guess.
Yeah, we presented together a couple of TV shows.
Exactly.
So I think we were always going to do something like this.
I find one of the things that was really fascinating about your podcast is that you're both just very entertaining.
Thank you.
Very curious if that's in terms of like personality, would you say that you've always been extroverts, for lack of better words, and maybe you wouldn't characterize yourself as that? Ooh. And do you feel like that's like a prerequisite for anyone interested in starting a podcast?
Well, I think first of all, we're completely different people. I think the reason we're quote unquote entertaining, because I don't find us necessarily entertaining, is because we're so fundamentally different. I don't know if you would call yourself an extrovert.
I
would say I'm an extrovert. I think I've always been very annoying and loud and musical theatre heavy and insufferable, but Tati is definitely not like that.
I wouldn't say insufferable and annoying and stuff, first of all, but I definitely would agree. Like Kaylee is the extrovert. I'm more of an ambivert. I feel like I come out of my shell and I get more comfortable when doing creative things. So like same like musical theatre background and all of that, but I'm always shy until I'm in those sorts of scenarios. I feel like I come out of my shell then. But in a normal day-to-day situation, I'm very much like ambiverted. I feel like I've grown out of the introvert.
Yeah.
But definitely not extrovert.
Yeah, I do agree. When I say extrovert as well, I think it's very, not fake, that's a lie. But you know when you put on like a front, you put on the best version of yourself, as horribly cringe as that sounds. Mm. I think that's what I've always done my whole life. As much as I might not be feeling like that inside, I've always just put out that front. And I think it's just to protect myself from anyone else doing it for me. I think I've just always been like, I'm just going to, why not, like, just be the loudest person in the room so that no one can say things to you that are going to hurt your feelings. So extrovert, but with caution.
Yeah,
It's funny that you say that, Kaylee, because I feel like sometimes being an extrovert around like the people you love and people that know you may come a little easier, but like deciding to start a podcast where like thousands of people that don't know you are going to kind of learn the inner sides of you. Like, I mean, what was that experience for you, just going from like still being an extrovert but now sharing all your thoughts publicly?
I think it's hard. It's different because Tati's a content creator and has been since before we started. Mm. So I think my main concern was, what if like, one, it only, we're about piggybacking off of Tati's career. I don't want to look like I'm just like a spare part, like joining along. That was my main concern. And then also, it was, because obviously a podcast, when you think of a podcast, you think of audio. But I think we wanted to do a visual video from the start. And that, I was like, oh, I have to really put myself out there. And I think the first few episodes, I was like, makeup and hair. And I think now I just waltzed in and I'm like, okay, I've got the sweatshirt on. I'm ready to record. Yeah. So I think it's definitely, it's helped in that respect, but it's still a bit nerve-wracking. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why did you start with the visual aspect?
I think just that's what we love to see. Like, I think we grew up in an age where YouTube was like the biggest form of entertainment for our generation. So the podcasts we were already watching or have come across, the ones we found most interesting were video podcasts.
Yeah.
So it just felt like the natural progression. And then also, if you look at the podcasting industry and the way things are growing and moving, video podcasts are the future, arguably. Yeah. So we thought, might as well just start strong and get experience in that whilst we're still learning, instead of trying to slowly add, you know, challenges potentially as we were going on.
Yeah. So, to go on what you're saying, I think that it's hard coming into podcasting, not being an established creator.
Yeah.
Because, or like, so I don't know, someone, a presenter might then start a podcast and people watch it because they know that person.
Yep.
We've started from no one knowing who we are. No one really knows who we are now, but it's like, it's, if we were to do audio, I think people might struggle to get us. I don't know, because even when we're recording, I'm hyper aware that we're doing it for the audio, but a lot of the time we're saying, if you're not watching, it's going to be a lot more enjoyable if you're watching. Mm. You're going to be able to see us interact. You're also going to be able to see things we're putting up on the screen. And like Tati was saying, short form content on TikTok was what I think is going to get the most traction. Yeah. So I think that was the smartest route to go down.
I love that. And you know, it's so funny that you say that, because I found that very interesting when I was listening to like the audio version of the podcast that you start out by saying like, hey, you can check this out on YouTube. And that was kind of like the first thing I did. Mm. So I love those subtle reminders. Sometimes I think as like creators, it can be difficult to figure out like, what should I be talking about on a weekly basis? And like, there's times like for me, for instance, I create content surrounded around creators. And I know that there's like lots of things that happen in this space that I know like this has like a high probability for going viral, but then it's not maybe also something like I actually care about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just sort of curious, just like week by week, how do you both choose what, you know, what film, what show, what topic you decide to talk about? And how do you gauge sort of like between like, hey, this is trending, so we have to talk about it, versus this is just like what we're passionate about. Mm-hmm.
Really good. I think we started being like, okay, we need to be on trend. We need to talk about every new film that's coming out, every new TV show that's coming out as it comes out. But now we've kind of just leaned into our like authenticity and just talk about what we want to talk about and hope that our audience finds us. And then it's just a better relationship that way anyway. Yeah. So I think we don't really focus on trends in terms of the entertainment industry. We just go off of what we're currently watching. Yeah. Luckily, things overlap. Like, for example, Queen Charlotte just came out on Netflix. We're huge fans of Bridgerton.
Yeah.
So that's like a natural overlap in the trends. But other than that, we don't really stress too much on trends.
Yeah, I agree. When we started, like Tati was saying, we were doing like film release week by week.
Yeah.
And I think if you went back and watched our episodes, it's just not really us. Like, it is us in the humor aspect, you know, how we're bouncing off each other. But I think we're talking about things like the editing of the film, the lights, the camera, that isn't actually us. I think it was just like, it came naturally with reviewing a film. But I think the more we looked into who we wanted to be, the less educational it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like, we weren't there to try and force people to go and watch a film. We were there to have a joke, have a laugh.
Yeah. So, and I love that. And I think there's a lot of conversations that could be had around sort of like the goal that you're hoping to like accomplish. So in your position, for instance, you technically can like influence like what people think about like certain films or TV shows. What would you say is sort of like your goal? Do you view yourself sort of as like people that you're just, you want to spark conversation around specific topics, or is it that you want to change how people think about certain films? What would you say you're hoping happens?
Well, I feel like with us, we just want to bring a fresh perspective to, I guess, the journalism and that whole, the whole like way people review films, because it seems, especially in the film industry, it seems very, you know, like strict, and everyone's talking about like the development of a character. Instead, we just wanted to make it a bit more fun, a bit more lighthearted, especially when we have guests, just make it a bit different to what they normally experience. But from an audience perspective, I guess a similar thing, like just show people our personality more than what we, what our commentary is on a film. And if they do take something away from that, they don't feel like we're forcing our opinions on them. It's just like, this is what we think, but we want to hear what you think too.
Sure.
That kind of
thing. I think something I found interesting recently is when you watch, so say The Little Mermaid's just come out, or is about to come out, the press junkets for that, they've really specifically handpicked creators to do a lot of the junkets. And I think that says a lot about the film industry journalism wise, because no one wants to see the people ask, the actors ask the same question over and over and over again. You'd be bored. I've seen the interviews, they repeat. So I think that they're very like, they're handpicking these creators for a reason. I think that would be, that's something we'd like to do in the future. So that's that covered. I think goal wise, I think just, I like just talking to people. So the more guests we can get in to speak about, I think the better. Like, we have a great time when it's just us, and we're lucky we can make that work.
Yeah.
But when we have a guest in, I just I like
the dynamic.
I just like speaking to people. So my goal would just be speak to more people.
I love that. And I think one of the topics that creators struggle with is this idea of sort of like identifying a niche or an audience, or like focusing how they create their content. And I think you both have done like an amazing job of sort of like picking like a focus while not sort of like feeling like this is very narrow. I mean, I listen to your podcast and it feels just so broad, and I love like hearing about the banter and the both of you. But I mean, what advice would you have for creators as they think about picking a niche? I know like creators often want to feel like, I don't want a niche. I just want to talk about whatever is on my mind at any particular time. I mean, how do you all think about that?
Well, first of all, thank you. That was very nice. I think it's interesting because we have a panel later today, literally about finding your niche and should you. And I don't want to give like too much away because we want to have an authentic conversation. But I think if you're looking to do something and you have your field, I think you don't have to narrow band it. Like you said, like we were very narrow with the weekly releases.
Yeah.
And now we've sort of put the entertainment bracket as like a whole. And I think that that's helped. I think it's a niche in this respect that we're not going to sit and talk about sport, but we're also wide enough that we can have more like guests from all sorts of industries and that sort of thing. So I don't know what my advice would be. I think just do what feels natural to you. And if someone's telling you have to do something, you don't. So do what you want.
I think very similar. I think when people think of niche, they think, oh, I have to pick something and I have to stick to that now forever. I can't change. But I think keeping flexibility at the core of your niche should be the main thing. So allow yourself to experiment with different things as you progress, because you change as a person anyway. You're going to want different things potentially. So yeah, don't feel constricted by the decision you made a month ago, 3 months ago, 6 months ago. Allow yourself to adapt and change, and your core audience will follow and go along
with
you.
That is actually exactly it, because even when we talk about films that we like, we always say this could change tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if our taste in film can change tomorrow, your passion could change tomorrow. I just think, don't let anyone sort of just tell you have to do one tiny thing. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Flexibility, I think, for creators, that's such like a great word. I'm glad you used that. I find myself sometimes just sort of like in the world of like being a creator and feeling like Instagram, TikTok, all these platforms are just like changing so fast that it does like legit feel like sometimes I'm having to just like pivot, you know, platforms, be very flexible. I'm just curious, like out of all the different mediums that exist, like what made you choose like podcasting as like your primary medium, and how do you feel about that now?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Really good. I think it's just because we felt like we had a lot to say, and podcasting was the best way to have long form conversations and share them in a like socially acceptable way. I guess now YouTube videos, people are making like hour long reviews and stuff anyway, which is why we put them on YouTube in the first place. But yeah, I think it was the only medium. Like we couldn't really write a book or a magazine or start a blog.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're not really as relevant now. So yeah, it just felt like the only option, I think, at that point, to share all the thoughts we were having.
I don't think we ever had any other. We didn't even sit down and say, is this actually right? I think it was just like, this is fine. This will do. People will listen, I think. I think even when we were starting, there was no pressure to gain an audience. I know that when we were talking about it at first, it was honestly just purely for our enjoyment. And I guess it still is. Like, people ask me if I do it because it's almost like a job now. Like yesterday, people saying, is it a hobby? I'm like, yes and no, because it is a hobby, because I really, really enjoy doing it. But I also see a career in this sort of field. So. Yeah. I guess it's a win-win situation. But no, we didn't really speak about anything else. It was always podcasts.
Kaylee and Tati, I want to like pivot for a second and think about something. Like, you're at like one of the largest podcast conferences in the world, and you're going to be like speaking on stage today. I mean, literally like the things you've been able to accomplish, I think by like my measure, I would consider you both like successful podcasters. I want to like find out like why you think that is. Like, why do you think from the time you started your podcast to now, what are some of the things that you've done that you feel like contributed to getting you to this point?
Okay. I think, thank you again. lots of flattery. I feel very flattered. Again, I don't know. I think it's a lot of, you have to put a lot of work into it. I think that's something that no one around me other than Tati can understand, is like, I am putting a lot of time and effort into outreach, into research, in even just filming, watching films for our show. It's time consuming, and then filming and paying for studio spaces, everything. What the hell was the question?
Success.
Yes. Oh, success. So I think it's just a lot. You have to separate your time. You know, I have another job. This isn't a full-time job yet.
Yeah.
Manifesting. But it's not. And I think that that's, you have to be willing to put the work in.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest misconception about the creative industries in general, whether it's podcasting, content creating, the film industry, anything. I think people think it's like a very easy route to success, whatever you measure that as. And it takes a lot of time, especially with just the research, growing the podcast, filming it, everything, marketing it. So I think it's the time. We put a lot of effort into it, and we have done since the start, just because we enjoy it and we continue to do that and like just try do more and more and more. So even with the podcast show, we still don't feel like we're qualified in any way, shape or form to be here and speaking on a panel, but we made an effort to reach out to the team 6 months ago. We were like, let's get on a call, let's do something. So I think it's just having that attitude and having that drive to just ask for things, do, you know, just keep going.
Just be as proactive as possible.
Literally,
if we'd stopped for a week, we'd notice like something was wrong. I think you just have to find the time, make it work, and just put yourself out there, even if it feels uncomfortable. You know, I've emailed so many people that I shouldn't be emailing. And I get replies, and I think it is just because I've put a lot of effort into reaching out to these people. Obviously, it's not always the outcome you want, but I think at least you're getting somewhere. At least you're on the radar. You know, I'm spamming people. People are annoyed. Do you know what I mean? So they know who we are.
I think with when it comes to that, people think that people are inaccessible. So they don't make the effort. They think, oh, I'm not going to be able to do that, let me not even try. But we always will still think, oh, that's not happening, but we'll still try. Like, we'll still go out of our way to try things, even if we know we're just not in a position to be doing such things at
delusional,
the moment.
Delusional
just
things.
Dream
if you,
out
yeah, exactly. If you yeah. looked in our inbox, you'd be like, guys, come on, why are you emailing Zendaya's PA?
Right.
What are you doing?
Seriously, I want to ask you, you know, I know, are you guys signed to a network? So I know you work with Wizard Studios. What's your relationship with Wizard? And what are they?
They're our managers.
Okay. Mm.
So we present for their radio show sometimes. We've done one show recently, and then they're our management, so they'll handle like our programmatic ads, outreach for any brand deals and stuff like that. So they just handle the management side of the podcast, basically.
And is that one of those relationships that you were just referring to, where is it really just as simple as like you reaching out to them? Did they reach out to you? Is it at a certain
point? Reached out to us, actually, and then we just sort of jumped on a call and started discussing what it would look like. But I think it's still a very, it doesn't mean we have any less workload, which I think is also a misconception.
Mm.
We've still got just as much as we were doing before. But like Tati said, they just help with getting rolling ads, post red ads, sort of thing.
It's mainly the monetization side of the podcast, I'd say.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think one thing we thought is that they would kind of take on the role of PR as well, because obviously marketing a podcast is a whole full-time job in itself. Which they don't do. So it is mainly just the monetization side of the podcast.
I think a lot of podcasters, especially podcasters that listen to my show, have this assumption that in order to even broker a relationship like that, that you would need to be a large podcast or have a certain number of downloads. Is that something you would agree with? Is this something you would encourage creators?
I think it varies from like management to management. I know a lot of management are probably looking for numbers, and that's completely fair enough. Obviously, you're going to put your trust in someone that's got the numbers. Wizard, for example, I know that they take on brand new podcasts, so I guess that there are people out there don't think it's unattainable. We got the email and I thought it was spam. I was like, oh, this, because this was a while ago, this wasn't even a recent thing, so I think I thought it was a bit of a joke, but then obviously we jumped on the call and it wasn't. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think it applies to monetization of podcasts as well. Like, you don't need millions of followers or millions of listeners to make money from a podcast. So when a management is looking to sign you, I think they're just looking at the earning potential of the podcast. And because we are technically in a niche, that niche being entertainment, you can still, I think when you have a niche, it's easier to monetize because there are more specific brands that you can target. I think it just depends on what your podcast is about and what your earning potential is within that.
100%. But niche in entertainment is still very broad.
Exactly.
So that really helps with monetization, because you could have an ad for Sky, but you could also have an ad for LinkedIn. They still sort of come under that media category. So I think that's probably something that helps us. I don't know if you had a super, super, super niche podcast, what the protocol would be, but I'm sure there's someone out there.
That makes a lot of sense, and I want to like ask you something, but if you can't answer this question, I will not be offended at all. But I do want to ask, because you just told me I have to shoot my shot. I think part of like what I try and do on my platform is be as transparent as possible, because I think like especially in podcasting there's a lot of like misconceptions, because it's very different to YouTube in the sense that like there's not as much transparency. So like I can go to your YouTube and see like, oh, you have X number of subscribers or downloads, whatever, great. And I think in podcasting there isn't that, and so I think people either assume that they should be growing like a lot faster than they should, or they are actually doing amazing, but because they don't know, they think that they're not doing as well. And so if you can share, are you comfortable sharing how many downloads you get at the moment, or just sort of like your growth trajectory?
That's a really good question.
It is a good question. We and Wizard both have access to the
megaphone.
So I'm not looking regularly. I would say I think last time I looked, it was nearly 5,000 downloads. So I don't know what quantities. I don't know how that measures. I don't know if that's in a month. I don't know if that's all time. I really do not know.
5,000 at some point.
Yeah, and it's hard as well, because our numbers are really split. Because we have audio, then we have YouTube. But our main platform is TikTok. But we don't have any way of measuring that in like a chart.
Yeah.
So obviously
we don't know the conversion rate from social media to the streaming listeners. But we do know that TikTok and streaming are our biggest audiences.
Yeah.
So... because when we first got approached by our management, we were like, but what has made you even think that this is a good idea? And he was like, well, from your streaming. I was like, okay, so you know something we don't. Because I, like Hayley, I'm still very unsure about how to analyze all the analytics on the podcast platforms, but something like
that. I would say it's something 5,000-y in the audio, but then TikTok, we've got 2.5 million views on there.
Wow.
So it's a very different ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to appeal to people on TikTok, which is short form, snappy content. But that's so hard sometimes because it's coming out of a very long form video. I'm sure you understand as well. Trying to find segments that are going to appeal to people when actually you'd really like them to listen to the whole episode.
Exactly.
Because we think that they're of value. We think they're of worth. But I completely get that people don't have the attention span to do that. So that's where I'm really grateful for TikTok, because it's much easier to grow an audience on there that are into you.
Especially because we're trying to build more of a brand around. Mm-hmm. We're not. We don't want to keep As Seen In as a podcast. We want to make like As Seen In as a brand, a lifestyle brand. So I think social media is a great way to do that and just diversify the audience.
Yeah, and I kind of want to talk about that a little more, just like personally for like the two of you, when you think about like success, like what are some of the things that happen that you feel like, oh yes, like that was like a win? Is it sort of like performance on like videos on social performing well? Is it like downloads? Is it like money? Like what specifically for you right now?
It's not money. I'll tell you
money.
That's not the reasoning. I think the first time that a video went viral, I was like, oh, okay. Okay, people. But it was, I don't know if that was just like the confidence boost we needed. Actually, I'll tell you something that really did make me think, oh my God, we're on the right track, which is ridiculous, was from season one. When we were filming from our bedrooms.
Yeah.
We were doing the weekly reviews like we talked about. And the King Richard film came out. We did a little review about that. And then either Venus or Serena liked one of our reels. And I was like,
two of them.
Like, we're in. And I think I remember at the time I was in Costa with my friend and I was like, I don't know if I'm on the right path. I was going through like a quarter life crisis. I was like, is this right? And then I literally got the notification. I was like, never mind. I was like, oh, Kwam's gone.
Venus Williams gave us the validation we needed.
Venus, thanks, girl, because we're still doing it. So
I think on a more broad spectrum to answer, I think it's the engagement with the audience, like getting comments from people when they're like, oh, I love this episode, or just anything feedback wise from the audience. I think that makes me feel like, okay, this is a successful thing, because even if it's just 10 people, if they're hyper engaged, I feel like that's amazing. Instead of having like a million people who couldn't care less.
That feels amazing.
That's actually really, really true, because when we do guest episodes, I think sometimes we pull in a couple more people than we would normally because it's fans of those people. So something I found really nice was when we did, I can't even remember who it was. We did one with Adam Wadsworth, who was in Cursed Child on the West End. And we did one with Ben Wiggins from You. Mm. And I remember reading a comment and it was like, they clearly had watched because they liked who we were interviewing. But their comment was so nice. It was like, you guys are such great interviewers. You've gained a new list, like something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just really nice that people from, this is why I want to do guests, right?
Yep.
Because we're going to draw people in from all sorts of industries. And I just remember sending it to Tati. I was like, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Honestly.
In my life.
Yeah.
It was just very nice.
One of the things I absolutely love about your show is I think that there's like different aspects I love. Like I love like the banter before like you talk about the main topic. But one of the things I saw recently is you both acted out a script that was 100% written by AI, which was very, very, very entertaining, I must say.
Sorry for the American accent.
What's your take on AI and what impact do you think it's going to have, not just for like creators, but in the film space too?
I'm scared of it, but we're trying to embrace it as much as possible because it's not like us two can do anything to stop it. I mean, AI can never replace creativity. So that's one thing I feel secure in. Like, no matter how developed AI gets, us creatives, as long as we stay true to our creative process and keep trying to develop new ideas in that way, we'll be fine. In terms of like generating scripts and writing treatments and stuff like that, I'm sure it's going to take over in some sort of way. But I feel like there's always an element of the creative element. It can never be replaced by AI.
Yeah, well, if you watch the episode, you'll see the scripts were ghastly.
Terrible.
They were rewrites of Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. They weren't even that original. We said AI, come on, something new, something original, and they did not perform.
Yeah.
So I think they need to work on that.
Yeah.
But we're just trying to embrace it. Like Tati said, just incorporate it where you can because it's trending, you know, it's probably going to keep trending. And that's what we're doing.
And that's one of those things where we act out scripts for fun anyway. Quite
that
a
makes
lame
us
thing.
Sound
yeah.
So sad.
Yeah. And then we'd use ChatGPT just for fun as well.
Yeah.
So we're like, this seeing as it's trending and seeing as we love acting scripts, we have used ChatGPT, why not combine it as one thing?
Yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
we've seen people do it online before.
No, we're all for starting new things.
Starting new ideas. I don't know how many times we'll do it, but it was fun to try.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think one of the things that I've had to become fairly okay with recently, especially as a creator, is just like this idea of like failure and that it's gonna happen. And so I just wanna ask you, along your journey building like this amazing podcast, are there any aspects that you, or any times you feel like you've taken an L, or any times you felt like, oh, this was like a challenge we had difficulty overcoming?
Oh, I mean, probably. I feel like not really like, oh, we failed, but obviously some videos people don't see them. I don't know.
I think it's the natural progression of like, okay, we've exhausted this now. Mm. Let's try and move on. I think the biggest example is with our filming locations. So season one, we started filming just from our rooms.
Yeah.
And then after a bit of that, we were like, okay, this isn't going to work now. If we want to scale up and grow, let's move to a studio.
Mm.
And then we get to the studio. We're enjoying it. Okay, we're not liking this now because the light's not great. Mm. Let's move. So I think it's just the natural progression of trying to keep growing.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that I think is like, off the top of my head where we were like, gosh, that was really bad. That was a big L.
I agree.
I'm dreading that because obviously, you know, that happens. Like, I'm dreading the day we do like a guest interview and it's just like the guest is horrible to us behind the scenes or something like that. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. That's my biggest fear.
That is quite a genuine fear.
It gives me a lot of anxiety.
And then you still have to get on the mic and have this conversation with this person.
Because you hear stories all the time of like huge A-listers just being horrible to people behind the scenes, and the second the camera's on, they're like, hey, I would be like, are we just gonna pretend that?
Right.
Oh, yeah, and I'm quite up front, so I don't know if that would sit well with me.
Exactly. I feel like I'd be okay at like,
Tati always says to me, I know when you don't care about something.
Yeah, because we'd be in a conversation, and Kaylee would just be like, yeah. So.
Like, I can't, I don't mean to be rude. It's just an example. I don't even know if I should say, because poor Brendan, what if he's watching?
Yeah, no.
But we were in Washington Square Park in New York.
Yeah.
And we were approached and it was literally a very fine conversation, but it was just going on for too long.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, you know.
He was trying to sell us things essentially.
Yeah.
It was like a marketing type of thing.
Like, all right.
Got it.
But I think I could probably push through an interview, but that is a genuine fear.
Yeah.
That we're just going to have a really rough time and then have to sit there and smile.
That's a really, really big fear of mine for that.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, all of our guests have been so lovely.
Yeah.
It's been really great. But then at the same time, in my mind, I feel like a guest wouldn't agree to come on a podcast unless obviously they're being forced by their PR person. I don't know. It's just, I'm just really
We have
hoping.
Been really lucky. Everyone we've either spoken to personally before or we've got the general consensus that they're looking forward to it.
Yes.
I think the day I'll be nervous is when we've had no pre-warning of if they even know they're doing it. Or if it's like, oh, you've got this podcast at 10 a.m., you better be there.
It's just like
and
PR
And they turn
to
up
PR.
And they're just like, hi.
Yeah.
Because that's not what we're about.
Yeah.
This is another thing. I don't think we want an A-list celebrity to come in unless they're willing to put, you know,
to actually
into
engage.
Conversation.
Right.
Much rather speak to someone that's a director
exactly.
of a short film because
exactly.
they're passionate about it and they have a lot to say.
That's the thing, like what Kaylee was saying, we enjoy speaking to people and actually having conversations. We don't want it to be like an interview, like, so what was your favorite part of the thing? We're not engaged in the conversation. We want to build a relationship in that 1 hour we get to talk to them.
Yeah.
So completely agree. It's like, we don't want to just speak to someone for the sake of speaking to them.
Yeah.
It needs to be, we're both enjoying this conversation and we're talking about new things.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Tati, Kaylee, thank you so much for joining me on my
thank
podcast
you.
Today. This was a treat for me, so I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.